my point yesterday was that I felt delightfully detached from the city. And I want you to feel the same way in this world, delightfully detached. I was in it, but not of it. And I knew that I was chosen, and it's not bragging, it's not boastful, it's not prideful. It's giving God the due, giving God the credit for saying something about you and living it, assuming it, standing up under the mantle, under what God says of you. Remember, this is the delight of His calling. So I'm standing there at the corner in Sao Paulo and I'm feeling chosen. That's a great feeling. I know that God is with me and that I'm supernaturally protected and that I'm different from all these people. That's not boasting either. I'm different. Because I'm a member of the body of Christ, they're not. And so this is a Catholic city, folks, a Catholic country. Everybody's into ritual. Everybody's superstitious. Not everybody, but the majority of the population. I mean, come on. And I'm doing this series, you know. I do the series, and I go for a little walk, and I'm like full of God, and I'm full of this knowledge of knowing what He's doing and seeing the steps He's taking to bring humanity to the end of itself. And I'm picturing these buildings and the sun and this eon, and I'm thinking everybody's off to work. They're in a hurry. It's the days of Noah. And they're going about their business, and they have no clue that they're on the brink of a gigantic change. Yet I'm not only aware of it, but I'm primed to be a major player in the next step God's doing, and I'm glad to be in that position. So the Apostle Paul says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Now, the thing is that I have all this knowledge, but what it did to me is it filled me with love for these people. I didn't feel puffed up. I mean, I was glad that I knew what I knew. And then I thought, is this just bad to have knowledge? Should I be like ashamed of myself? Then I thought, no. Knowledge puffs up. But Paul doesn't say, don't get knowledge so you don't get puffed up. Go ahead and get puffed up. Get your knowledge, get puffed up. But then realize that the love of God that's shed abroad in your hearts from the Spirit is edifying you, is building you up, and it's overcoming any puffedness you might experience because of the knowledge that you have. So I was basking in the knowledge and also filled with love for the people. It's going back to what I told you about the ark. Now, we discussed last week the fact that this is a very careful study, and we're looking into words. And because of that, the cause of that is a good translation. We're looking at an accurate translation, and we're concerned about words. I keep looking for my wristwatch. All right, never mind about it. We're looking at words. Other series on the book of Revelation don't do that. They're all cookie-cutter stuff. So many people are telling you now that the kingdom is not coming with observation. That was, it won't be seen. It's some kind of secret internal kingdom that doesn't have a political reality. And remember, I was reading, and we're going to go back here, I was reading from Daniel. And this is what the messenger, I got my bunker light out here. If you're on the bunker cam, I hope you are. Hello to everyone. The messenger, Daniel, says, 77s are segregated for your people, for your holy city, to cause sin to end. Oh, it's the first verse. It's the one before verse 24. Understand what is in the word and understand what is in the sight. And I said that the kingdom was going to come with sight. But there are many people out there telling you that the kingdom is not coming with sight. And to prove that to you, prove in air quotes, they're using Luke 17. I'm going to go to Luke 17. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And I use as my bookmark a postmark of Sao Paulo. If you want to see how crazy this city is, I'm showing you on the bunker cam here the extent of this city. It's the largest city in the Americas. Look at all those buildings. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. You gotta see it to believe it. Now, being inquired of by the Pharisees, I'm in verse 20 of Luke chapter 17. I'm going to give you an example of how important it is to get the right words. Because as we launch into Revelation and reference Daniel as we go, you're going to find out that words are hugely important. And if one word is mistranslated, take the doctrine of eternal torment, by the way. One word, ion, is mistranslated eternity. And because of that, people actually think that God's going to torment most of His creation forever. I know, crazy thought, but it's actually true. being inquired of by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God is coming. This is the Pharisees. They want to know when. We want to know when it's going to be. We want to give us an inside clue. Give us the secret so we can lord it over other people. We want the inside track. When's it going to come? Give us the date. This is what our Lord said. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny. I'm reading from the concordant literal New Testament. Neither shall they be declaring, lo here or lo there, for lo, the kingdom of God is inside of you. Going to explain that too. But notice the difference here. In the King James Version, and in most common English translations, you're going to read Jesus saying, the kingdom of God is not coming with observation. This has led many people to believe that the kingdom is not going to be visible. That is, it's not going to be an observable political kingdom. It doesn't come with observation. Slight problem here. That ends up to be a major problem, is the word that means observation is blepo. That's the Greek word that was translated dozens and dozens of times by the King James translators and the NIV and the NASB translated observation. The problem is the word blepo is not here. The word that appears here in the Greek is a word that is only used one time in the Greek. It's the word parateresis. Parateresis, not blepo. Blepo means observation. Why would you take two different words, blepo and parateresis, and translate them with the same English word? Why? Because you're not careful with God's revelation. Because you don't give him credit for saying different things with different words. Sounds like a simple concept. It will save you. Deception. It will save you going down a rabbit trail and a rabbit hole. It was parateresis, only used one time here. It means the elements are, it's a two-part Greek word. Para means beside, and teresis means keeping. It means beside keeping, scrutiny, to beside keep. Like when you set a pot on the stove, you keep beside it. You constantly watch it. You scrutinize it. And this is what Jesus was saying. Blepo has a completely different meaning. It means like through see or something. It means to observe, and that's the way it's translated. Even in the concordant version, blepo's translated observation, observe. But here, that word's not present. In any Greek manuscript, parateresis, besides keeping, kingdom doesn't come with scrutiny. Here's what Jesus was saying. In other words, you Pharisees want to know the exact moment the kingdom comes, and you want the inside track so that you can lord it over other people. But I'm telling you, it's not coming with scrutiny. In other words, it's going to come with so many signs, with thunder and with lightning, as Jesus says another place. You can't cancel, you can't use one passage of Scripture to cancel out hundreds of other passages of Scripture. People take this one verse, Luke 17:20. They take this one verse and they use it to cancel out, for instance, Matthew 24, when Jesus talks about the Son of Man is coming with lightning and thunder, and every eye shall behold him, those who pierced him. And they use this one verse to undo Daniel in chapter 2, that says a stone hewn not by hands will come from the mountains and pulverize all the kingdoms that went before it. Pulverize. It's going to be a violent, active move of God that's going to shatter, not gradually reform, but shatter the previous kingdoms. What happened to that verse? Well, that's not true because the kingdom isn't coming with observation. Now, they're also using this one verse to obliterate every single thing that every single prophet said. Every single thing that every single prophet said is obliterated because of this one verse. Luke 17:20. Are you kidding me? Now you see, for one thing, they should think, well, something's wrong here. You would think that it would occur to the mind. Something's wrong here because this verse contradicts hundreds, if not thousands, of other verses. Maybe we should look into it. And when you look into it, you find that the word observation is a mistranslation, and it should be scrutiny. In other words, the kingdom is not coming. Scrutiny is useless because it's going to be everywhere. That's why when Jesus says, neither shall they be declaring, lo here and lo there, the kingdom's here. That won't be necessary. Nobody's going to have to ask for directions when it's everywhere. You better believe it's coming with observation. It's coming with observation, and that makes scrutiny useless. That's the essence here. That's the importance of words. That's why you can develop an entire doctrine based on words. We're going to see that in Revelation chapter 1 when we come to these things must happen quickly. The word is swiftly, big change. And also Christ tells the Apostle John this to signify things. People think that word in this context means to tell by signs. And because of that, they think that the entire book of Revelation is now parabolic. It's now figurative because he said in the beginning, in the first few verses of chapter 1, it's signified. If you get screwed up on that word, you're done. You are worthless in the book of Revelation, and you might as well blow up your websites because you're off on to the races on another trail, bad trail. And the farther you go, the farther away you get. Same with quickly over swiftly. The assumption that these things had to take place. We're going to look at Jesus' words too, which said that this generation shall not pass by till all these things shall be occurring. That's not what he said. We're going to look at that as we look into the 69 sevens and the last seven. Now, and then what about this, Martin? For the kingdom of God is inside of you. You have to remember who he's talking to. Now, being inquired of by the Pharisees, verse 20. You got to look at the key beside the door, or you're not going to go in the door, and you're going to be distracted into another wrong path. So the Pharisees wanted to impose the kingdom from without. They were all about tying the law on their forehead and wrapping it around their arms and all that, and they wanted to enforce it from without. But Jesus said the kingdom is within you. What does that mean? That the temple is going to be inside your body? It's a figure of speech, and it goes along, perfectly dovetails with the new covenant, where God says, I will write my laws on their heart. I will write my laws on their heart and their minds, and I will turn their heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He's talking about the heart. Is that anatomical? Is he is he going to conduct an operation, anesthetize them, put them on an operating table? No, it's figurative for the fact that the kingdom is going to begin now from an inner change, not outside force. And that inner change is going to bring it into an observable reality. Israelites are going to rule a physical, literal kingdom from Jerusalem, not because somebody's forcing them over the head to do the law. That method was tried and it didn't work. It was designed to fail. It's now because the kingdom is within you. In other words, God's going to put his law on your hearts. I'm going to take a break till tomorrow. Thanks.